And of course, this one, the Wexford Carol. Very, very English. I have to tell you, this is one of my very favorite albums, one I've cherished for a long, long time, a number of years. Sorry about that, Julie. You were just a child when you made this album. Actually, this whole program is built from my own personal collection of Christmas music on LPs. The LPs that no longer exist. It's all CDs. Actually, this station wires in two turntables, and I ask Rick Belairs to come in and run the turntables while we do this program for you. We may be the last of a breed using actual 33 and a third LPs. Now you would get things just on CD, and I think that so much beautiful music gets missed. You get the top one or two of a certain performer, and then you lose so much more. So we hang on to these LPs, and may they never, ever wear out. Now, from the single beautiful lady's voice to Christmas carols from Westminster Abbey. Westminster Abbey, the great church where kings and queens are crowned, the shrine where so many of England's most famous men are commemorated, it's always stood at the center of English national life. And throughout the centuries, the music of the Abbey has gained a worldwide reputation. Many of England's finest musicians associated with the Abbey, including Orlando Gibbons, who was the organist from 1623 to 1625, the greatest of all English composers, Henry Purcell, who was organist there until his death in 95. There have been choirs singing at Westminster ever since the first monastery was founded in Saxon times. But the earliest records of boy choristers at Westminster Abbey date from the 12th century. In the 16th century, the foundations of Henry VIII and Elizabeth I provided for the education of the choristers at the Abbey Choir School. The boys are chosen from the choir at open auditions, and the choir school, they receive a full academic education, as well as benefiting from one of the finest musical traditions in the world. The Abbey Choir also includes 12 professional singers, basses, tenors, and adult altos. On this record, the choir sings favorite carols. I think there's something very special about carols sung by a famous choir in a great church, and something extra special when that church is Westminster Abbey. Now we'll move from the formality of Westminster Abbey to a much more robust song, Masters in the Hall. Tune that comes from England, where it's been known for more than 500 years. The choruses describe the sailing of three ships, bearing Mary and the Christ Child to Bethlehem on Christmas Day in the morning, and all the bells on earth did ring. here is almost the folk song feeling in the song called Down in Yon Forest.
Down in yon forest there stands a hall, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. It's covered all over with purple and pall, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. In that hall there stands a bed, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. It's covered all over with scarlet so red, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. At the bedside there lies a stone, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. The sweet Virgin Mary knelt upon, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. Foot there grows a thorn, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring. Whichever blows blossom since he was born, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything. Over that bed the moon shines bright, the bells of paradise, I hear them ring, denoting our Savior was born this night, and I love my Lord Jesus above anything.
And here again, I'm sure you note the very English-British character to the music that they've contributed to this Christmas season. And now it's Hark the Herald Angels Sing, written in 1739 by Charles Wesley, the brother of the founder of the Methodist Church.
Thank you.
And the climax of the English section is obviously a climax. It's the jubilant passage from Handel's Messiah. It represents some of the greatest pages in music, composed in 1741 by George Frederick Handel, a German who made England his second home. He took it to Ireland for the reason, evidently, the English were not too receptive to what he had written so quickly. So he took it to Dublin. It sold out the performance, got rave reviews, and then took it back to England, and then King George II picked it up and was so moved by the fervor of the Hallelujah Chorus at its first performance, he rose to his feet, and that custom continues to this day. This is really a climax.
Thank you.
And so that is England, and that is big, isn't it? And we shall touch on Scotland and Wales in just a moment.